జయం శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నిఖిలా ప్రవిష్ట ఓం శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సభో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపగోపినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయకి హిమనమాయకి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Prajarini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschadya Deshadarini. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధి కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవ శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదిదరదశ్చర్థేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదాయ ఆది కవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయాం తేజోవారి మృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నర్మత్సరాణం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణాన్ నిగమగల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాతమృదద్రవ సంయుదం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకాః సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమా యం ప్రవ్రజందం హనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాతరమజ్జుహావాం పుత్రేతి తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేతు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం హానతోస్మే యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం హదితిదీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణ గుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోర ముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణు కొణితాదృదానేందోః మమ వాజి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురీం నా కనికాభి కాభి కాభి నమాహోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ హిరినామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషా శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశా యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాదీభువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందర మందహాసం వాతాళయేశ మనిషం హృది భావయామి. కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్య పరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాంబురదో మమ. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. తొందు సర్వం పరిత్యజ్య స్నేహం స్వజన బంధుషు మయావేశ్య మన సమ్యక్ సమద్రక్ విచరస్వగం. కృష్ణ సేస్ టు ఉద్ధవ. లాస్ట్ సండే వి హావ్ సీన్ కృష్ణస్ ఫస్ట్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ టు ఉద్ధవ. తొందు సర్వం పరిత్యజ్య స్నేహం స్వజన బంధుషు మయావేశ్య మన సమ్యక్ సమద్రక్ విచరస్వగం. Krishna has saying that first of all, to Uddhava, we have to remember one point here, that Krishna has spoken these things to Uddhava not particularly for Uddhava's sake. This was spoken actually directing to us ordinary people of this world. Uddhava was a devotee who does not require this kind of instruction at this stage in life, but because Uddhava was so close to Krishna, keeping Uddhava also present in this world, that was Krishna's desire. So long as Krishna's glory stay in this world, Uddhava's glories will also stay in this world. So using Uddhava as a tool, just like Krishna did with Arjuna, same thing here also you will see that Uddhava, you will notice this when you go further down in the Ekadashi Skandha, where you will see some of the instructions what Krishna has given actually does not has anything to do with Uddhava. From there you can understand that Krishna was only keeping Uddhava as a tool in his presenting Ekadashi Skandham to this world. So similarly here, Krishna says to Uddhava, Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham swajana bandhushu. Swajanam and bandhushu, two problems. Swajanam means the community. Bandhushu means the relatives. These are the two things which won't leave you. They will hold you all the time for something or the other. Just like it is very difficult for people when people invite you for a marriage, particularly for that. They find it very difficult, oh, if I don't attend the marriage, what will he think about me? Isn't it? Or we are so close, we are so relatives, either we are relatives or they, because these are the two people who invite for the marriages, isn't it? Swajanam and Bandhu. So when these invitations come, everyone is in a fix, whether to go and hear Srimad Bhagavatam or we should go and attend the marriage party. So Krishna is saying here that in life, there is a stage you do these things. if you make this business of getting everyone married in this world as your main business in life, then Krishna says, don't think about coming back to my world. This is very blunt instruction from Krishna. Uddhava was, of course, 220 years old. And Uddhava hasn't had this problem now, because at that age, it is a different state. But there are still people who can drag them into marriage. There are people like that. That it doesn't matter. They don't think about the other side of the person's situation. But they'll still force them, oh, you should come to marriage, this, that and the other. So it is sometimes very difficult when you live within a society to refuse when you are invited for the marriage. Similarly, there are other functions also. When you live in a community, there are so many things, isn't it? Like some communities have this namakaranam, name-giving ceremony. Annaprashanam, first time feeding the rice to the child. Or hair-cutting, chaulam ceremony. Or ubanayanam, the second initiation done by the parents organized at home. Or marriage, vivaham. Then you have got shraddha ceremony when someone dies. So like this, so many invitations come. And you notice always that when these invitations come, they would always put a lot of pressure on the people that they should attend at any cost. And society also puts this pressure on the people that if I don't go for this marriage or the ceremonies, whatever that has been invited for, they will take it in the wrong way and we don't want to upset them. Krishna is saying that when you live in a samuham or in a community, these problems are always there. But ultimately it doesn't help. It is okay for the moment. It will solve your problem. Krishna is saying that if you want to come back to the spiritual world, he says to Uddhava, Uddhava, at some point you have to make a decision in your life what you want. Especially at a certain stage in life, an age in life, one has to make that decision, a very firm decision within oneself, that I haven't got enough time in my life left to continue serving my community and relatives. That will come, and that is a phase in life. For a certain number of years, you have to do it, you have to do it. But after that, once you have seriously taken Krishna consciousness, then you have to look in that direction. Otherwise, it will be very difficult. If a marriage or if a Shraddha ceremony or a name, Namakaranam or Chaulam or Upanayanam or whatever the ceremony is, if they all are the priorities in life, then Krishna says, please wait till you are ready to take Ekadasha Skandam. Ekadasha Skandam is little bit different than all the other cantos because it's called Mukti Skandam, isn't it? Mukti means liberation. Liberation from what? Liberation from all these things. That's the first thing. So if you keep engaged in all these activities, this is not very helpful. So Krishna says there that sneham swajana bandhushu, he says, sneham swajana bandhushu. This, because of this sneham to swajanam and bandhu, that is why this is causing this problem. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the very beginning, in the first canto itself, Kunti Devi said to Krishna one thing. If you remember that, Kunti Devi's words to Krishna. What did Kunti Devi say? Kunti Devi said to Krishna, Sneha Pashamimam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishu. Pandushu and Vrishnishu. These Yadavas are my relatives, and my relatives are the Vrishnis. The Yadavas are my community. So both sides, I have this connection. Kunti Devi said so many things to Krishna. And the final words from Kunti Devi to Krishna was, Sneha Pasham Imam Chindhi. Kunti Devi understood, these are all problems for me in my way back home, back to Krishna. A person who wants to go back to Krishna, he has to think about these things very seriously. Sneha Vashamimam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishu. We have two attachments. Kunti Devi says, I have two attachments. One towards the Pandushu, Pandavas and the family members, and the Yadavas also. So both attachment, please cut it. Kundidevi is asking Krishna to cut that attachment. Up to this time, she was thinking that they are my relatives, they are my community, I have to be with them, I have to look after them. But at some point in life, a time comes when you know that everything is temporary and all these connections, where did this start? This all started after coming here, isn't it? Before that, all these connections didn't exist. So-called connection for the marriage and connections for everything. This all has started after coming to this world. And you didn't come to this world on your own accord. Forcefully, you were thrown here by the powerful karma behind it. The karma was the cause of this. Karma manifested in this material body, and according to the needs of the karma, a particular place in a particular situation, under particular parents, a birth was given. This is the law of material nature. Bhagavad Gita says that very clearly, isn't it? Sadasad yoni janmasu. According in different yoni, karanam gunasangasya. Karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmasu. Krishna says to Arjuna. So according to gunasangasya, according to the modes of nature we have contacted before, according to the vasanas we have created inside, and according to the karmams we have done, accordingly material nature has provided us a body in a particular situation. After coming here, all these attachments developed to different people, father, mother, brother, sister, all kinds of relatives and society, everything else. So Krishna is saying here, it is time now, to Uddhava is saying, it is time now that one has to learn when to stop this. This is realization. This is called self-realization. So, sneha bhashamimam chindi dridam pandushu vrishnishu. So when such invitations are continuously coming and it becomes very difficult for the to refuse, there are certain ways of handling that situation also. That you have to be clear, firm in your own mind that what you want in life, whether you want all these celebrations in the marriages and feast in the marriage and all the other entertainment along with that, or the happiness of seeing all the so-called relatives and society and friends and taking pressure out of it, or whether we want to have these higher instructions from Krishna seriously in life. So Krishna is saying there, there's once it so happened that that there was one person. He lived alone all his life. He did not get married. He took spiritual life very seriously. But somehow or the other, he didn't go away from his society. He stayed back in his society. So while living in the society, it will always happen that people will come to invite him, for some function or the other. So initially he refused, but it was becoming unbearable. They kept pushing them, because that is the very nature of the relatives, isn't it? They keep saying that they will put it in a very nice way to you, or you should come and bless the couple who are getting married. They will say like that, wouldn't they? That they find some very nice technical words to put it in the invitation. You should come and bless the couple and so that they live a happy married life. After all, you are an elderly person in the family. All kinds of things they will bring about at that time. So this person thought about it, how I should refuse to these people. So one day, when he was invited in one instance, he told them, those who came to invite them, he said, told them that he told them that Krishna has given me a job to do through my spiritual master, or I have taken this instance. That's the job given to me. What was that? I have to sit and chant 64 rounds every day. 64 rounds every day. And of Hare Krishna. And if I start coming to accept your invitation, this will be disturbed. I won't be able to complete chanting my rounds. And if I don't chant my rounds because of this marriage, this will not have a good effect on the couple who are getting married. He said to them, this will not be very good for the couple who are getting married. He said like that to them. Immediately they turned back and said, "If that's okay, if it is like that, you can sit here and bless them from here. That's how they put it. They are so cunning, these people, because they don't have any spiritual life or interest in the spiritual side. So they'll tell you that after some time, when this goes on for a while, later on what will happen is they will stop inviting you. And then they will give you a stamp, rejected from the community. Once you get this stamp, you have escaped. So till you get this stamp, you have to stay strong. Afterwards, they won't disturb you. They'll talk to each other. He's like that. There's no point in inviting him. He's not going to come. And even if he comes, he won't fit in with the group there when you go for the marriage, because they are all in enjoying mood. And so many things goes on. So till you get this stamp from the society, you have to be strong. And the best way he decided was, he told them very openly that I have a responsibility in Krishna consciousness, that I have given a commitment that I will chant the holy names of Krishna every day, 64 rounds. And if I come for the marriage, I will not be able to do it. That will have a bad impact on the future of the couple who are getting married. So throw it back at them in the same way, how they have thrown it at you. So Krishna is saying there, these things are necessary. These things are necessary. Because one who wants to go back to Krishna, his priority is Krishna, not the marriage and the Shraddha ceremony in this world. They are there for society has in different places. You will find in different communities, in different societies, different procedures for birth and for death. A soul who has left the body, who is looking for the next body and who is transmigrating from another body, your ceremonies here or your arranging marriages here, they are not that important. They are not that important in relationship with going back to Krishna. This is why in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how a marriage should be Adyo Vaivahiko Vidhi. The first marriage, how it was conducted between Kardama Prajapati and Devahuti Devi, that marriage only you have to read. And then you will know how a marriage should be conducted. Today's marriage means what? If you have the money, spend, spend and spend. And it is a kind of a display of your opulences to the rest of the society. And they feel that if this is not done like that, it's not a marriage. Krishna has not said anywhere that marriage has to be performed in this way. Nor Shraddhem Kuryana Vistarad, it says. Shraddha ceremony particularly should not be done in an opulent way. The simplest way it should be carried out. Shraddhem Kuryana Vistarad. In the Bhagavadam it will come later. So whatever it is, that the principle behind all these things is that Svajasneham Svajana Bandhushu. As long as we have this attachment to the family and to the community, it is a very, very hard thing to break. It's a very hard thing to break. Because most of us do we all go with the society, isn't it? Society drags us with them. And we go along with it. And we think that that is the standard. We never think what is the right thing to do. Because we don't have that power of discrimination in us. We don't know how to discriminate. Everything what the society says, the majority of people, whatever they do, we all do the same thing. And we think that's the standard. But when you come to spiritual life, Krishna is giving some warning here that if you have not understood what Krishna is saying here, this is not a philosophy. Don't take it in the wrong way. Some people think that Krishna is giving another Krishna's philosophy, like so many other philosophies in this world. This is not another philosophy. This is instruction from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, to those who wants to go back to Him. That's all. Simple it is. Krishna is saying to us, if you want to come back to me, take these instructions very seriously. Ekadasha Skandam was spoken after a lot of thought in Krishna's mind. Krishna has thought about it enough before he has delivered this to Uddhava. Because you will see that Jnanamritam Bhagavadaya Bhashidam, spoken by Krishna, this knowledge, spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the benefit of the whole society. That even after Srimad Bhagavad Gita, what has exist? Prachodhavaya param samagal swadhama. That prachodhavaya param samagal swadhama. Param, the supreme, higher knowledge than what is not even there in the Bhagavad Gita,
Krishna has decided to speak to Uddhava before going back to the spiritual world. So if we do not recognize the gravity or the potency of these verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and if we treat them simply as ordinary philosophy, then we are the ones to be blamed, not Krishna. Krishna's position is very clear. Supreme Personality of Godhead, accepted by all the great authorities in the Vedic tradition, Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarkacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every single acharya has accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that Supreme Personality of Godhead is telling us that this is what you have to do before you come back to me, before coming back to Krishna. And if we start giving priority to things which are not important in relationship with Krishna, then only we have to be blamed for that. So Krishna is saying here, in order to explain that, tam du sarvam parityajya sneham svajanabandhushu, because it is very difficult to break this attachment. Because most of us think that by continuously engaging in this interaction with the community and the relatives and society and friends and all that, we will continue to exist happily here. But strictly speaking, most of the things, real experience of happiness is only in the youth. Up to a certain period in life, 30 or 35. After that, everything is leaving you one after the other. So it's all distress afterwards. From then on, one after the other, people start leaving you. You are not going to stay with them. Either the parents leave one after the other, and then sometimes the children leave you, they go away. And sometimes in the modern world, even the wife leaves you or husband leaves you. So many, everything is leaving after that. Nothing is coming anymore. But we are taking it the other way, thinking that as long as I can do it this way, let me do it. This is what goes through our head. So Krishna is saying there that separation starts somewhere in the middle of the life itself. One after the other, people start leaving you. So before they leave you, if you leave them from your inside, from your heart, you will not suffer because of that. Otherwise, you have to carry them with you when you go to your next body. That's what Krishna is saying here. That tundu sarvam parityajya sneham svajana bandhushu maya veshyamana samyak samadrek vijarasvagam. Uddhava is now 120 years old almost. And at what point in time, Yamadharma Raja will throw the rope and put the rope on the neck and pull. You don't know that. Uddhava is conscious of that. We also have to come to that consciousness at some point in life. That any point, Yamadharma Raja can pull us out from here. So once you know that, then that is where this understanding is important. This is only to help that situation. That tundu sarvam parityajya sneham svajana bandhushu. Now, you will also notice there that Krishna has spoken something. This is basically the very principle of sannyasa ashram. But then why Krishna didn't say, Uddhava, why you should take sannyas now? He could have said like that, isn't it? Krishna didn't say that to Uddhava. Deliberately, he didn't say to Uddhava, Uddhava, you take sannyas now. Because if had Krishna said to Uddhava, Uddhava, it is time for you to take sannyas, what image we have about sannyasam in our mind? In our mind, sannyasam means danda, water pot, and things like that, and a person in saffron dhoti and saffron kurta, and a nicely shaven head with a shikha or whatever, that form. That form will come to your mind first of all. Krishna doesn't want the form there. Krishna wants the essence there. This is why, instead of talking about the form of a sannyasi, Krishna talked about the consciousness of a sannyasi. Krishna spoke about the consciousness of a sannyasi. Consciousness is, Krishna says, tumdu sarvam parityajya sneham svajane bandhushu. This is the consciousness of a sannyasi. And what else? Maya veshyamana. Completely attached to Krishna. We'll come to that. What is this maya veshyamana later? Mayaveshyamana, completely absorbed in Krishna. Mayaveshyamana samyak. Samyak means from there you cannot separate him anymore. Completely in Krishna. Completely absorbed in Krishna. Samyak, samadrik, And then only if you are in that situation, in this way, like mayaveshyamana samyak, then samadrik is possible. You will have the equal vision of seeing Krishna in every living entity. Why it is important is, this tundu sarvam paritejas neham sojana bandushu. If one does not develop this understanding of Krishna consciousness, if one does not understand, develop this understanding of Krishna consciousness, what will happen is that equal vision will never develop inside. So long as one does not have equal vision to all the living entities, ragam and dvesham will come. As soon as you deal with people in this world, some people you like, some people you don't like. Or some people like you, or some people don't like you. Isn't it? This will happen. This is called ragam and dvesham. Ragam means to love, like somebody, and dvesham means to hate somebody. So this ragam and dvesham are two things which comes with this unequal vision. That's why the samadarshitvam is necessary. Equal vision means ragam and dvesham goes away because there is no more consideration of this is good and this is bad. This is good and this is bad. Or this is superior, that's inferior. This is better, that's worse. All these considerations has to go away from the mind, in a sannyasi's mind. Otherwise, sannyasi will create difficulties for others also. So therefore, Krishna is saying here, tundu sarvam paritejya sneham sojane bandushu. This attachment and aversion has to go. For that, the first thing to start with is to give up this attachment to everything. And once this attachment goes away, the attachment is called mamada, mamada nirasam it is called. Mamada goes away, then what is left behind is seeing in every living entity Krishna, in Krishna's presence in every living entity, and to respect that living entity in that way, as a part and parcel of Krishna, not as an individual with whom you have to do some transactions and in relationship with the, and so long as we don't break these transactions, with the living entity, with other living entities, you will get involved in some kind of business with others, and the result of that doing business will be, it will end up in either in happiness or in distress. Every material transaction is like that. It will have its positive side or the negative side. Either it will end up in some kind of ragam or it will end up in dvesham. This is because most of the people in this world are not self-realized. They are on a material platform. So when you have to deal with materialists and who have material consciousness, they will always see things from the material point of view, what's beneficial for them. And with the result is that either you will get cheated or you will get glorified in one way. Either of the things can happen. Krishna is saying there, by following this, sneham sajana bandushu sarvam tundu sarvam paritejya. Once you have given up this attachment, then this will not happen. So, for various reasons, it is necessary to have this Krishna consciousness. Ajahn Swamiji says, if possible, get out of the house and walk freely away from home. Because then that will finish all the business, he says. You don't have to stay and deal with this world anymore. So, bhakti jnana vairagyam, devotion, knowledge and renunciation are three things which is part of Krishna consciousness. Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us this. So, till you get this, in the beginning, it is a difficult thing while dealing with this world. But at some point in time, by dealing with the situation properly, the world will reject you. The world will reject you. They will give you a certificate that you are not anymore a part of the community. Once you get that certificate, you have escaped from that. So, till you get that certificate, you have this problem. So, tundu sarvam parityajya sneham sajana bandushu maya vesha manas samyak samadrik vijara swagam. Then, where did this all begin? It all begin after we have come to this world, isn't it? All these relationships have started after it has come. Krishna says that itself is an illusion. To think and identify yourself with all the rest of the community and the society and the relatives, and to think you are a part among them, this is called mithya. That as soon as one, this attachment built up, as soon as you are born in a particular situation, and that will all go away in 1 second, as soon as you leave this body as well. So the cause of everything, where does this all exist? All these attachment and aversion, where does it exist? It exists in the mind. It exists in the mind. Then, and what it is also saying to us is then, so long as this mind is attached to jadam, jadam means dead matter. Dead matter means to different material objects. So long as the attachment is there, it will always create difficulty. It will always create difficulty. Krishna is saying here, Mayavesha manas samyak samadrik vijaraswagam, that it will be very difficult for you to see anything without that attachment and aversion. Attachment and aversion is the biggest problem, ragam and dvesham, and they will always be there in life. They'll always be there in life unless we give it up. And where does it exist? It exists in the mind. It exists in the mind. Once it so happened, two people left home. Two people left home. They went and walked away long distance, visiting different holy places. And eventually they arrived in Prayag. They arrived in Prayag. They arrived in Prayag. So there, one of them decided to take sannyas in Prayag. He took sannyas and the other person couldn't go along with it. He decided, he met somebody there and he decided to get married and live a family life. So the two people, they left home with one intention, visiting different holy places, and lot of spiritual thoughts were there before they left, but they didn't have any clear definite plan at that time. But when they got to Prayag, the thoughts came to them. One of them decided to get married and to live a married life, and the other person decided to take sannyasam and go away from there. So they both parted and went to two different directions. After some time, what happened was, the person who took sannyas, he started thinking, this, what kind of sannyasam life is this? Look at the other person, my friend. He got married. He must be living happily now, enjoying in the community, visiting all his friends and relatives, going for all the marriages and doing everything in nicely. The sannyasi was thinking about him. And the other person who got married and got into all sorts of problems in life, he was thinking, what a mess I have made of my life. I came, left home and came to Prayag thinking that I will, they left home. Remember, they left home and long way they have come. Those days there was no flights or anything. You have to walk long, long distances. That means if you travel from south to Prayag, you're talking about walking for about 6 to 8 months to get there. So these, normally when they leave home like that, they don't plan to go back again. They don't plan to go back again. They have decided once for all, they have said goodbye to the families and they have come. Inquiring for spiritual advancement and to find a proper person to meet and to refrain from all attachments and connections with the family life. Those who are serious, that's what they will do. So they have come like this and it ended up like this. The two people ended up in these two different situations. So the whole life the sannyasi was thinking about his friend who got married and who lived a comfortable, thinking that he is living now comfortable, I got involved in the sannyas ashram, like that he was thinking. The other person was thinking, what a sort of situation I have ended up with. I left home and came here, now I got involved in another family. I left one family there and got involved in another family now, and thinking like this. So what happened was, at the time of death, the person who got involved in the family life, because he was always thinking about the sannyasi, and thinking about sannyasi's meditation, sannyasi's life, he got back to the spiritual world. And the sannyasi who did all these, thinking about the family man's life, he had to come back and take birth again. Come back and take birth again. So what Krishna is saying here is that sannyasam, he wouldn't say, consciousness is important. Consciousness is important. All these connections are, where is the connection? Aham amedi, isn't it? Me and mind. Where this connect? It is in the mind. This has to go from the mind. Otherwise, whatever sannyasam you may take, that sannyasam is not perfect unless this consciousness has come to the person. This is Krishna is pointing out in these verses. That is why deliberately Krishna has not spoken about it in this in the Bhagavatam. You will see when he is talking about it that he has external renunciation is not what Krishna is looking for. External renunciation is not Krishna is looking for. It has to go away from the mind. It has to go away from the mind. So, once it is that attachment has gone from the mind, Krishna is saying, already it is liberated state. It's a liberated state. Because all these are the things what we have accumulated in this world. All these material relationships, material attachment with the world, worldly objects. These are the things we have brought back on us. Remember when we discussed Bhagavad Gita, we talked about an example. Someone hands over a large piece of marble to an artisan, one who carves the deities. What does he do? From that piece of marble, he cuts off so many pieces away, and when it's all taken away, then that the form comes in the Krishna's form. When he wants to carve Krishna's deity in a piece of marble, all what he does is, he takes away everything what is not fitting into Krishna's form, isn't it? While carving from the marble. So once that's all been removed, that's Krishna then. We accept it as Krishna, Krishna's deity. Similarly, our Swarupam or our actual form is spirit soul. Nothing to do with mind, nothing to do with intelligence, nothing to do with the senses, nothing to do with the false ego, nothing to do with the gross body. Nothing. None of this is our Swarupam. These are all that has come to us. Once you get rid of them one after the other, you are in your original identity as spirit soul. And that is liberation, Krishna is saying. So it is for the, out of all these things, mind, intelligence, false ego, senses, gross body, it is the basic, most critical thing is this mind. It is there, everything is kept together. Isn't it? Ahangaram, false ego is there. And also, the senses are under the control of the mind. So virtually, this mind is the whole thing that is keeping you in the conditioned state. Conditioned state is purely due to the mind. So once the mind experiences, mind is relieved from that commitment. That is why we were discussing last time about the activities of the mind. Isn't it? Activities of the mind. It is the mind that's the most difficult thing. So therefore, all the sadhana, chanting the holy name, Srimad Bhagavatam, deity worship, everything is only directed towards the mind. How to rid the mind of from various objects and bring it to one point, to Krishna. So therefore, Krishna is saying here that in Bhagavatam it is said later, Durjayana Mahammana, most difficult thing is to come out of this, the attachment to the mind. So therefore, mind is to be dealt with. And while dealing with this mind, we have got this difficulty. As soon as you try to control the mind, my mind wanders away somewhere else. So Bhagavata philosophy is that you give the mind an opportunity to go away and allow that mind to stay in such a way that if you keep allow the mind to go away and do what it wants, but you stay separate from the mind, which requires a little bit effort, it's possible that in due course of time, the mind will come and surrender to you. How? It is like this. At the moment, what the mind is doing? Mind is like a manager in an office, sitting there, isn't it? It's like our manager. The manager inside, he does all this. So you just make him redundant. Make the manager redundant. Bhagavata philosophy is easier than the Ashtanga Yoga system, where they try to focus the mind, everything on one object, on the form of the Lord and all things related to that. Dhyana, meditation process is much more difficult. Here, Bhagavatam, the process is simply allow the mind to go. Don't get involved in the mind's activity. Tell the mind to go away and do what it wants. On the other hand, be absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna or in the holy name. Thoughts of Krishna and the holy name. If one can do that, what will happen is in due course, the mind will stop this wandering nature. It will stop that wandering nature. giving an example. Sometimes, when you have lived in a big family environment, nowadays it's very rare, but in the past, there were families. Family means it included grandfather, grandmother, father, mother, children, grandchildren. Then there will be other brothers, sisters. Large families, they used to live together. Isn't it? They used to live together. It used to be the system, but nowadays due to the different situation, everyone needs separate apartments or houses, so it's all different. But in those days, what used to happen was when people get very, very old, especially the grandfather or grandmother, when they get very old, they find the grandchildren or the children are in a different generation, they're acting very independently. And they will demand, the way they do things may not be very liked by the grandparents. They'll think what's happening to this new generation. And they tend to correct them all the time, isn't it? They tend to correct them, the children and the grandchildren, or other members in the family. But because they are older members in the family, it's very difficult for the younger ones to speak against them. They won't say anything. They'll keep hearing it all the time. But the older members of the family do not recognize that they should not get involved to such an extent in the other's life. Because times have changed and the ways of doing things have changed. A lot of things do change according with the time. So, but older members sometimes find it difficult to stay away from that. And when they start interfering, what does the young people do at that time? Often you will notice the younger members will say, yes, 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 but they won't do it. You notice that? They won't do it. But they'll say, yes, yes, yes. They'll agree with everything, but they won't do it. The older member realizes after some time, it's no point in telling them anything. He's not going to listen. So eventually they will not be able to say anymore anything. People will listen. It will come through this and go through the other. They won't be able to do it. Because if you start doing everything according to fulfill the desires of the old man or old lady, then it becomes very difficult. You will not have the time to do what you have to do. So in such situations, they give it up at the end. At the end, they leave and go. So even at the time of leaving this world, if you start simply instructing the family members what do and what not to do, then the younger members in the family, they will not appreciate that very much. They will find that as a hindrance. So in such situation, they write off the older people. They write them off. They don't do any harm to them, and they won't take their instructions very seriously. Similarly, the mind who is the manager now, from whom you have taken throughout life instructions, and on whose instructions you have acted throughout, you have to also do the same thing to him. And exactly like the old people go away and leave you and go away, one day the mind will also leave you. This is where Srimad Bhagavatam is coming in. Because from Srimad Bhagavatam you can understand, Bhagavatam is saying there, asangatvam. Asangatvam means not keeping connection with that party. Some party who is giving you constantly trouble, the mind, why you should entertain him and take his instructions. You have to know how to break away from him. So, Krishna is saying here that tundu sarvam parityajya sneham svajana bandushu maya veshyamana samyak samadrak vijaraswagam. That all this is happening purely because of ignorance. Give an example. That everything in this creation, whether it is svajanam, bandushu or material objects or anything what is loved by or liked by the individual, Krishna is saying in this first verse itself that their existence is not as you see them. For example, you purchase gold from the shop. Using this gold, you make different ornaments, isn't it? Just like earrings or nose rings or bangles or the chains or the anklets. Various ornaments you make from the gold. Now, someone who goes to the shop and buys, he is seeing these different forms of the gold, isn't it? Different forms of the gold. The intelligent person knows that they are all gold at the end, isn't it? At the end, it's all gold only in different forms. different names and different forms all we have given. And so Namarupam as it is called, the names and forms has been given to gold by us. But essentially, the material that is used in all these things is gold. In different forms, it manifests. So if we start saying, this looks nice and that doesn't look nice, it's only the form that is causing this confusion in us. Is it not? The form is causing the confusion. One form in the form of bangles or one form in the chain. You see two different forms and you say, this chain is nice, the bangle is not so nice. Because the form you are attracted to. So Krishna is saying that the gold is the essence in this, not the form. Similarly, everything in this creation has come from soul. Everything in this creation has come from soul. Our difficulty is, our mind is focused on everything what we see in this world. So you will see in the next verse, Krishna is taking us back to something else. In the next verse, you will see something else what Krishna is saying. It's the next bomb to Uddhava from Krishna. Edidam manaso vacham chakshubhyam shravanadivi. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Yadidam manaso vajam chakshubhyam shravanadivi nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhimaya manomayam. Very, very important verse. Very, very important verse. Krishna is taking us completely away from this world. All of us, every one of us, are used to seeing things in this world. Isn't it? It's used to seeing things in this world. And what do? We start thinking, this is good, this is bad. This is our normal transaction with this world. Isn't it? Something is good, something is bad. So, Krishna is saying here, first thing Uddhava, yadito manaso vajam chakshubhyam shravanadivi. Everything what you are seeing in this world through your chakshus or eyes, what you are hearing the sound through your ears, and whatever you are experiencing in this world, realize that nashwaram grihyamanam cha, it is all temporary. It's all temporary. You may say, do you have to tell me this? I know that it's temporary, wouldn't you? Everyone will say that. But Krishna is pointing out there something important. Even though it is temporary, and you say you acknowledge that it is temporary, you are busy with this temporary thing all your life. You never cared to look, find out what is the permanent thing. That's the point. Yadido manaso vacham chakshubhyam shravanadibi. Chakshubhyam shravanadibi. Now, before going into that, chakshubhyam shravanadibi nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi maya manomayam. It's a very, very potent verse. If we have to discuss this verse, it is like this. Sometimes when you start discussing these verses, it's like the thief who was bitten by the scorpion. A thief went to steal somewhere. So when he was stealing, he got bitten by a scorpion. He can't cry, can he? Because the scorpion has bit him. But he has to cry because the pain is so acute. You see? It's like that. These verses are like that. It's difficult not to speak these things. But when you speak, it's also very painful. Yadido manaso vajam chakshubhyam shravanadivi. Everything what we hear, Krishna is saying here, that if you do not recognize this one thing, that everything in this world is temporary. They are there. It has come to take birth. That is why Mayamayam is called Mayamayam. Mayamayam means Maya has created that in this world. And Maya will take away also from this world. Everything Maya has created. How Maya has created? Maya has created in such a way that when your mind is connected to this world, that is Manomayam. And what you are connected with is Mayamayam. That's why the two words Krishna has used, Manomayam and Mayamayam. Vidhi, Maya, Manomayam. Krishna says it's Mayamayam, Manomayam, and it is Mayamayam. What does it mean? It means that, first of all, it's a product of Maya. It has come from Maya. Secondly, it is being absorbed, it is being engaged, or it is being experienced by the mind. And both of them are false. Both of them are false. Mind is a false thing. Maya, and also the Maya is also illusion. So an illusion created by the material nature is being absorbed by mind, which is also a product of the material nature. And these two things are interacting, and this is what you are doing your whole life. Krishna is saying to all of us. In other words, from Krishna's position, so long as we are absorbed in this nashwaram, temporary things, and the mind is absorbed in Maya, liberation is not possible. Liberation is not possible. This is where things have to change in life. Yadido manaso vajam chakshubhyam shravanadibi nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi mayamanomayam. Mayamayam and manomayam. Earlier in the last verse, tamdu sarvam parityajya sneham svajana bandhushu, Krishna also spoke the same thing in a different way. That everything in the material world is made of material elements, isn't it? Earth, water, air, ether and fire. These are called the five material elements. Nothing in this world exists outside these five material elements. Everything, whatever you take in this world, is made of these five things, isn't it? And majority of them has come from the, they are all the product of this combination of these different things in various proportions. Because they have come from the earth, almost all of them have originated, we are all originated from the earth, isn't it? So this is called an earthly body. And same thing with the wood, the metals, even the oil, gold, anything what you take in this creation, this has all come from the earth, and the earth has a big percentage presence in that. So because they have been produced from the material elements, if you take our body also, the main composition in this body is this five material elements, as far as the gross body is concerned. If you take to the subtle body, which is the mind, intelligence and the false ego and the senses, they are called Sushma Panchabhutam. Sushma Panchabhutam means they have come also from the Tanmatras of this Panchabhutam. Tanmatras, do you know what I am saying? We talked about this in the third canto. Shabda Sparsha Rupa Rasa Gandham. I mean sound, touch, form, taste and smell. These five things, they are the Tanmatras of these gross material elements. It is from that these subtle elements like mind, intelligence, false ego has come. You can read that in the third canto while discussing Sangha Yoga. It is spoken there. So, the subtle side of our existence, namely the mind, intelligence, false ego, senses and all that, the gross side, the gross material body, they are all nothing but a product of the material nature. They are all nothing but a product of the material nature. So, because it is like that, that the gross material body in the association of these subtle material elements, we identify with all of them. Sometimes with the body, sometimes with the mind, sometimes with the intelligence. But although we may not say this to anyone, our association activities is always in connection with them. So Krishna is saying there that so long as this connection exists, that earth, water, air, ether and fire, and this association with the material nature, it is difficult to think about liberation. Think about liberation. Krishna is slowly pulling us towards the spiritual platform. Towards the spiritual platform. In order to establish ourselves in a spiritual consciousness. Because what normally happens to us is, we come, and as soon as we come to this world, immediately interaction starts with the world. How does the interaction start? Interaction starts with the senses. Senses look for sense objects. Isn't it? Looks for the sense objects. What are the sense objects? Sense objects are the five senses of knowledge and five senses of action. Jnanendriyam and Karmendriyam. Which you know what they are. Five Jnanendriyam and five Karmendriyam. So, these five senses, they start the interaction with the sense objects. And senses on their own cannot interact with the sense objects. The interaction is only complete when the mind comes into picture. The mind gets involved and mind starts judging things, enjoying and rejecting, and all these things is happening within the mind. The senses are only an agent working for the mind to interact with the sense object. So you can see here again, then the mind is the one which is causing all the activity. All the activity. So normally what's happening is that this earth, water, air, ether and fire and the subtle elements of the mind, intelligence, false ego, all these things allow us to leave us from our spiritual platform. From our spiritual platform. For example, it says there that how did this happen? When we have forgotten our spiritual identity as spirit soul due to association with Maya, immediately we became Jiva. That's how we become Jiva. What is the difference between Jiva and the Paramatma, Jivatma and Paramatma? Jivatma is contaminated with material nature. The modes of nature is strongly present in the Jivatma. And the moment we fell from soul to Jiva, association Maya started. That has happened to that. From that position, from Jiva's position, due to association with modes of nature, again we fell and we became a human being. We have lost that Jiva identity also. And we became the human being. We start calling us, I am a man, I am a man, I am a human being. This identity came. When you fell further from there, we started identifying as man and woman. I am a man, somebody is a woman. This relation. So gradually, this fall from spiritually realized state, it has happened in this way. And on every time it moves, the modes of nature is working strongly with us, that this identification we accept more and more. That comes to human body, then the man's body, women's body, and then again from man's body, other things. I am a husband, I am a father, I am a son, and so many other things happens. And then identification with the material world in different forms. Various identifications in the material world. So all these things are nothing but a gradual degradation from the spiritual consciousness where we were at before. The moment we became Jiva and we started falling off from different positions, we have to identify with that. The identification starts. So that's why Krishna is saying here that all these things have happened when the mind starts moving. It is the mind that has created this, all these different identities. The mind caused us to become a Jiva, living entity like that. Mind made us to think that we are a man and a woman, or a human being, or a man and a woman. And then other things also, who is doing it? The mind is doing it. How do you know that? Example. As soon as you go to sleep in the night, and as soon as from Jagrat to Sapnam you move away, and the sensual activities are stopped, still the mind is active, isn't it? The mind is very active still in this dream state. But when you move away from dream state to deep sleep, which is called Sushupti, and that is the only state, according to Shastram, is called sleeping state. You are actually sleeping only at that time. The other two states are not called sleeping state. Jagrat and Sapnam is not considered to be sleep. We consider Sapnam as a sleeping state, isn't it? Normally we say like that. I was sleeping and I had a dream. Actually, from Shastra says, you are not sleeping at that time. Real sleep means Sushupti. Sushupti means completely freed from the influence of the mind. Completely freed from the influence of the mind. And you can see, when you are released from the influence of the mind, immediately, all these designations also, you are dropping it. Is it not? That what you have accepted, I am a man, I am a woman, or I am a human being, or I am a father, mother, husband, son, citizen of this country, that country, I am, whatever material designation you have taken, you are able to leave it the moment the mind leaves you. Isn't it? When the mind leaves you, you are able to leave it. So from there you can understand that all these designations and all these identities exist purely due to the presence of the mind. Purely due to the presence of the mind. That is why Krishna is saying here, Yadito manaso vaja chachubhyam shravanadivi. Whatever that has been created by the mind, whatever that's been created by the mind, Krishna says, you understand, Maswaram, it is temporary. Imagine that. We cannot even think through that, can you? Because we never knew that such a thing existed. We are always thinking, oh, to my mind, I decided this, I decided that, and I am this, I am that. Oh, so many activities goes on in this world on purely on the platform of mind. Is it not? But if one thinks like this, that as soon as I go to real Sushupti state, where is my mind? What meaning has it got? All these things. So Krishna is only telling us this one point to completely take seriously, very seriously, that yadido manaso vajam chakshubhyam shravanadibhi. Mind and vajam, he has used the word vajam. Have you noticed that? Vajam means sound. And chakshus means eyes and shravana means to hear. Why sound is important? Because according to the sound we react, isn't it? Say, to give you an example, why sound is important. Suppose someone comes here now and he spoke to me something about something which I don't fully understand in another language. In another language he has spoken to me. I could not understand anything what he was saying. He was very angry with me. He shouted at me, but I could not understand why he was shouting at me. He has spoken so many things and then he gone away from here. So, at that point, because I don't understand the language, it has no impact on me. Probably from his expressions, I have to assume that something has gone wrong somewhere. That's all I can say. But what he was shouting about, what he was trying to say, I would not know. Eknath Swami once said this. Somebody shouted at him for days together. Eknath was a great personality in Maharashtra, a highly realized soul in his time. And Eknath had to go through a lot of this. So every time when somebody shouted at him, he would keep quiet. He wouldn't say one word about it. And eventually, the person who shouted for a long time, he had to surrender. He couldn't do it anymore. It came to a point that it was not having any impact on Eknath Swami. So at that time, somebody asked Eknath Swami, why did you not react to that? Eknath's reply was this. He said that what is this sound? What is this what he was talking about? After all, they are sound vibrations, isn't it? And these sound vibrations has only any impact if you give importance to it, meaning to it. You say that somebody is abusing you, say swear word at you. If you take it as swear word, it's a swear word, isn't it? Otherwise, what does it mean? Just a sound vibration. That's all. Nothing more to it than that. So similarly, if you can see things in that way, that everything that is experienced, because who is saying it's a swear word? The mind is saying this, that it's a swear word. Because somebody has told the mind it's a swear word. So if one can rise to that level of consciousness, where one understands, yadido manaso vaja chakshubhyam shravanadivi, whatever you hear from the mind is telling you, and instead of giving importance to it, simply to take it that it is nothing but a product of the mind, and similarly, words that comes to you which is not pleasant, if you are able to reject them on the understanding that it is also a product of the mind. Similarly, whatever you are seeing in this world, which they are unpleasant or pleasant, if you are able to think that they are also a product of the mind. And similarly, when you hear something in this world from somebody, Shravanadivi, whatever sound vibrations that comes to you, if you think that that is also a product of the mind, you can write them off all from your inside. It will go away from inside. Because this sushmam, this subtle thing we ignore, isn't it? In our life, we ignore these subtle things. That is why all these problems are coming. So Krishna is trying to tell us to develop this subtle understanding. Yadido manaso vajam chakshubhyam shravanadibhim Nashwaram grihyamanamja vidhi mayaha manomayam. Maya and the mind, manasa, these are the two things that is keeping you engaged in this world. That is the point Krishna is bringing out here. So unless we have broken ourselves away from the mind and away from the maya by Krishna consciousness, it is not possible to get liberated. It's not possible to get liberated. So this is the process. Krishna is saying this in this verse to Arjuna, to Uddhava, that the important thing to remember here is that that it is difficult to give up these things. Krishna accepts that. And Krishna also says here that suppose you went to the dream state. Went into the dream state. In the dream state, you have created a lot of things, haven't you? You created a lot of things. Like you created, you bought a, purchased a large Mercedes car, or you are living in a large detached house somewhere in a posh area, or you had very excellent sense gratification arrangements, everything. But when you wake up from the sleep, you lose all that, what you were enjoying in the dream. But you don't lament about that, do you? That, oh, I had all these things in my dream, now I've lost it. Nobody laments what he has lost in the dream. Nobody laments about it. Krishna is saying here, your so-called experience in your Jagrat, what you are doing through your mind and the senses, is also like that. The difference is, in the dream state, only the mind is doing this. In the Jagrat says, mind and the senses are doing it. That's all. Otherwise, in performance, or in terms of relationship with the soul, they are equally false. They are equally false. That you can't take any of them as permanent. Therefore he says nashwaram. They are temporary. And if you start saying that this is reality in the Jagrat state, that is a dream state, so it is not real, that is foolishness. That's Krishna's point. That's Krishna's point. We all have this difficulty. Most of us, this what does the science do? Science is also doing the same thing. Science is also taking something what is in the dead matter as serious. Everything, experiments that's done with the dead matter, it's jadam. Jadam is dead matter. And whatever experiments you have done with the dead matter, and whatever results have come out of it, Krishna says that also has no meaning. Nashwaram. One word, Krishna has rejected the whole science. Nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi mayamanomayam. Mayamayam manomayam. Everything in this creation is like that. Everything in this creation is like that. So, till we take this instruction from Krishna very seriously, even if it is not possible to do it completely because of our conditioning from the so many years of life in this world, it's very hard to reject this world, isn't it, in that way. But Krishna is saying that this understanding must come first. That they are the product of Maya and product of the mind. At least that much understanding one should get. Otherwise what will happen is, if you start taking this temporary matter and the temporary objects of this world as reality, not knowing their existence as temporary, and will start identifying with that, there is no possibility of understanding the soul. It is not possible to understand the soul. This is the one step by step. Krishna is cutting off or carving out all that has come upon us and breaking it away to reveal to us our pure identity. Pure identity is spirit soul. It has nothing to do with any of these things. But due to interaction with the modes of nature, interaction with the matter, we have accepted all this upon us. Now the only way, Krishna says, is to begin with is dismantling it all. One after the other. All these different things. Mind, senses, intelligence, false ego. They are all nothing but a product of these things. That we also, and Krishna is giving you different ways to convince us. Convince means logically to put it to us. That as soon as you go into Sushupti state, into the deep sleep, you are still existing. You are still existing. That you cannot wipe that off, because when you come back from deep sleep, you are recognizing you had a good sleep. So in other words, in all these three states of existence, the only reality that was always there was you, the soul, the living entity, and the spiritual identity was always existing. That, therefore, this is all happening, Krishna is saying. But then you may ask this question, if it is like that, why am I experiencing this? What do I do with it? How to get out of it? The answer to that question is, all these things you are experiencing only due to the mind. Mind is the main enemy there. So that is why all the Vedic Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is always directing towards the mind. Because once this mind says goodbye, then this world also doesn't exist for you. You see, we fight a lot in this world, isn't it, to get things right here. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said about this a very nice thing. It is in the Harmonist he wrote in 1932 or 34, somewhere in that period. His article is still there. Probably you will read it in the internet somewhere. But it what he said was that to think that this world requires some correction or some whether the world requires some kind of guidance or a kind of improvement in any way is the biggest illusion, he said. It's the biggest illusion. Already, the person who has created this, he has set a plan for it. And it will go along with that. It will go according to that. And we have no control on that. It is foolish to think that we are the people who are running this world. He said this very clearly at that time. It was one of the important messages he gave to people. That to think that we have this greatest responsibility of running this world. He said the person who has created this, he has already set it in motion. And he knows even a minute thing in this world, what happens, is under his control, not our control. So foolishly, when we come to the mental platform of when absorbed in the mind, what happens first thing? We take up the responsibility of changing this world. That's not our headache. That's not going to help, and that's not going to work either. So many people have come and tried to change this world. It didn't change. It is still the same. Like we say, the tail of the dog. If the tail of the dog, even after you, it's always bent, isn't it? Suppose you want to straighten it out. You put a pipe on it, on the tail, say a foot or 2 feet long, thinking that the tail will get straightened. Leave it there for about 2 years or 5 years or something. And to take the pipe off, the tail will go back to its position. This world is like that. We have got some time in this world, somehow due to our karma, our karma vasanam, on which we have no control. We have got birth somewhere, under the supervision of the material nature. Material nature has thrown us. Did we choose where to take birth? We didn't make the choice, did we? Oh, I'll go and take birth in such and such a place, under such and such a parents. Absolutely no idea how we got this birth, why we got the birth. In that particular place, with the particular parents, or in a particular community. We have no idea about it. Purely our own karma and karma vasanas have caused that, and material nature has provided us the body and put us there. Similarly, as much as you had no freedom to decide about your birth, you also don't have any freedom to decide about your death. This is the first thing. Krishna is making it very clear to us. Will it happen that you make your plans that I will die in the Uttarayanam time like Bhishma Dev decided? 6 months from January 14th onwards, Uttarayanam period, I will lie down on the bed of arrows like Bhishma has done. Krishna will come to see me at that time, and I will ask Krishna in the way what all questions I have to ask. Will anything happen like that? Has any time happened to anybody about the time of death? We have no freedom as far as death is concerned, as much as we have no freedom as far as birth is concerned. As far as birth is concerned, we have no freedom. Karmam and karma vasana will push you to somewhere where you have no control over it. Exactly the same way, karmam and karma vasana is taking you to different places in this world. Also, the fact that one is here and one is somewhere else, it is his karmam that's keeping him there. Sometimes you see, we talked about this when we discussed Bhagavad Gita. Lot of people in India, they want to go to America to make money there. But every Indian is not going to America to make money. Similarly, sometimes you find some Americans wants to come to India to live. They want to live in India. That's their desire. They want to live there. We may think from an external level, that it is their decisions that's what is controlling that. Strictly saying no. This person has some karma to finish in America, he has to go there. And similarly, the man from America has to go to India to finish his karma there. That is kept there for him. Such higher laws are working behind everything. But still, we are thinking that we are controlling the whole situation. Isn't it? So, Krishna is saying here that Tumdu sarvam parityajya sneham sojana bandushu mayavesha mana samyak samadrik vijaraswagam. Vijaraswagam means walk freely in this world because your birth is not in your control, your death is not in your control. So, what are you sticking to? This is Krishna's question. You have no control on your birth, you have no control on your death, and still you are sticking to something, thinking that this is my community, my family, my society, my country, my this, my that, my this, my that. So many things. Krishna's point is this. If you have freed yourself from these identities, which one? Tundu sarvam varitejas neham sajane bandushu. And then once you have absorbed your mind in me, mayaveshya mana, then samyak, never to fall from that again, then you have become samadrik, equal. Then what is left is only Krishna, nothing else. Vijaraswagam, walk through that understanding, Krishna says, Vijaraswagam. You can walk at that point, you don't have to even take into consideration of all the... But prior to doing that, you have to come through these stages. So unless you have freed from these, so imagine this, from this you can understand how liberation is not a cheap thing. We are all making it very cheap, aren't we? We think that sometimes I chanted 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles I followed. So now I'm back in the spiritual world. Well, when we read Bhagavatam, it doesn't give that impression. It tells us, Bhagavatam is telling us, that liberation means this subtle thing inside called the mind has to go. All the conceptions that it has created in us, false identities and false understanding of life, and all these things, I have been focusing all my life in external things related to the external world and the external activities. But today, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, all these things are not helping you in your realizing, finding out the truth. Therefore, he is saying, Yadidam manaso vaja chakshubhyam shravanadibhim nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi mayamanomayam. Mayamayam and manomayam. Exactly Krishna's opinion is like this. Just like in the dream state, you caught hold of so many things in the dream state. You have created, the mind is created for you. And you are going through that experience in the dream, and you are always thinking this is good, this is bad, because the mind is telling you. So many things can happen in the dream, isn't it? What all can we create in the dream? It is unbelievable kind of things dream can create. So, in that dream state, whatever you have experienced, you are able to renounce it, isn't it? When you wake up, you are immediately able to renounce it. Why is that? Because at that point you are realizing that it was only a dream. That's how you think about it. And then probably it may last for a few minutes or an hour or so, and then it goes, gone. But then you start taking the Jagrat state very seriously. Very seriously. And whole day you are making appointments to go here, go there, to meet this person, that person, everything. They are all very important for you at that moment. Why? Because you are thinking Jagrat state is very important, whereas dream state is not important. Krishna's point is, you have exactly like the way you have caught hold of things in the dream state, you have caught hold of so many things in the Jagrat state also. And you are holding on to that and keep telling, I can't leave it. This is what we are doing today, isn't it? Oh, as soon as Krishna says, so you have to give up this attachment. He says, how can I do it? It's not possible. So Krishna is saying that that if you understand that this is all nothing but activities of the mind and the senses, then there is no more lamentation or being attached to it anymore. At least if this realization comes inside, to some degree, this hard endeavor for material life will go from inside. Krishna is speaking all these things in order to develop that basic qualification of vairagyam in us. That's the reason why he is saying this thing. Because without vairagyam, it is not possible to understand Krishna. Bhagavadam, if you look into the Kavi Maharshi's instructions in the second chapter. Yeah, Kavi Maharshi said there. Kavi Maharshi was the first of the Navayogis, isn't it? Navayogi said that Savir Hari Andariksha Prabuddha Pipalayanan Avir Hotroschadrumala Chamasa Karabhajana. So what did Kavi Maharshi say? Kavi Maharshi says to King Nimi at the very end. He had 12 verses when he discussed Krishna consciousness. He said, what is Bhagavata Dharma? He discussed. If you look at verse 43 in that second chapter, Canto 11, chapter 2, verse 43. A person who has come to that state, how does he get there? Iti achyudangrim bhajato nuvrtya bhaktar viraktar bhagavat prabhodaha bhavandivai bhagavadasya rajan sadaparam shanti upaydi sakshad. That's the answer to that. That iti achyudangrim bhajato nuvrtya. When one serves Krishna seriously, Krishna consciousness develops in a person. And when one has developed bhakti in the heart, the result of that will be bhaktar viraktir. Detachment will come from material life. Today, we are not experiencing detachment in our mind. Why? Because there is no bhakti. There is no bhakti in the heart. Krishna has not given us that bhakti. We may say we are bhaktas and we are pure bhaktas and we are this, we are that. That's another thing. But the symptom of bhakti is this. Bhaktir viraktir bhagavat prabhoda. He says here, Kavi Maharshi says very clearly. Bhaktir viraktir bhagavat prabhoda. From bhakti, virakti will come. And from virakti, knowledge of Krishna will come. Bhagaval prabhodam. Bhagaval prabhodam means knowledge of God, knowledge of Krishna. That is what it means. So, where are we? At least this gives us an understanding. What is our position? Bhaktar viraktir bhagavat prabhoda bhavandivai bhagavada sirajan. And when bhagavat prabhodam has come, what will happen to him? Tadaparam shandi ubaidi sakshad. Immediately there is a realized state, shandi. There is no more disturbance to the mind. Mind cannot disturb you anymore after that. Mind is finished at that point. That's why he said here that param shandim sakshad param shandi. Param shandi is the liberated state. Param shandi is the liberated state. So wherever you look in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find there that this theoretically what Krishna is discussing here, sometimes it is difficult to understand everything and to act on that on out of our own will. It is very difficult when we read these verses, particularly Tondu Sarvam Bharitejas Deham Sajana Bandushu Mayavesha Manasamyak Samadrik Vijarasugam. And the next verse, Yadidam Manasovaja Chakshubhyam Sharvanadivi Nashuram Grahimananja Vidhi Maya Manomayam. All this is called Tatuvijaram. Tatuvijaram means by knowing these verses, studying and reflecting on them constantly, it will have an immediate effect inside. That at least in day-to-day transactions in this world, if these verses have some impact on us, this strong grip on material life will loosen up. It will loosen up. Otherwise, you can see sometimes people, they take to spiritual life. Many years they practice spiritual life. But as soon as there is a little opportunity for sense gratification, little opportunity, not much, very little, they are willing to leave all these things and go after that. Have you noticed? Sometimes, to give you an example, it's not criticism against anyone, don't get me wrong. It's not nobody's fault. It is that bhakti hasn't come. This is why it is happening. That the day when Champions League final was happening, it's the best example to give. Everywhere it was empty. The temple was empty. The houses were all quiet, as though some catastrophe has come to this world. And why is that? At that time, they were thinking, those who were watching, I'm saying, were thinking that this opportunity is only now. Tomorrow, that Thursday when it comes, it's gone. So let me have it today, this one. It's right now, right in front of me. Why should I leave it? This is what he's talking about. Virakti has not come. Still, the taste is for material life. And that you can't force on anyone. Forcefully, it won't work. Why? Because this is the only taste he has got in this world. If you take it away from him, he will suffer. Poor man. So he has to have it. The only thing you can say is this. Bhakti is not there. Bhakti hasn't come. Therefore, virakti is not there. So, even if we don't understand all these things, what Krishna is talking about here, even if we find it extremely difficult to practice, let us cultivate Krishna consciousness. That is the answer to this problem. If we cultivate, Bhagavadam is only assisting us to get to Krishna. Bhagavadam's duty to, because Srimad Bhagavadam is Krishna, Krishna's book form is Srimad Bhagavadam. So by studying Srimad Bhagavadam, you are associating with Krishna. But if you keep on hearing this all the time, that Champions League is not important, Champions League is not important, Champions League is not important, a day, at least in your 80th birthday at least, you won't watch Champions League. You will watch it when you are 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 even, but at least by 80, you will think, 80 years I watched Champions League, what did I get? Is it not? So, this is one example. Like that, everything else in this world is the same. Everything else in the world is also same. Every simple... the devotee is thinking, oh, I'm at least following the four regulative principles, so I'm okay, I can watch the Champions League. That's the way devotee is analyzing it. But that is a very, very basic understanding of Krishna consciousness. Proper understanding is what Krishna has said here. Anything what you are acquiring through mind, eyes, senses, remember that that is all temporary. Go back to the soul. And we are not able to do that. We are not able to do that, isn't it? Because when one is fixed up in the spiritual position, if he is absorbed and properly understood spiritual science and spiritual life, then if he is still getting attracted to Champions League or something, anything like that, then that means that his realizations are very, very poor. Very, very poor. So therefore, but that is not that person's purely, you can't blame on him. Because Krishna is saying here, if the bhakti comes to a person, if a person becomes, bhakti is inside, virakti will be there. He hasn't got the bhakti. What can you do? Bhaktir virakthir bhagaval prabhodah. Bhagaval prabhodam. And that when the virakti comes, then bhagaval prabhodam will also be there. This is Kavi Maharshi's words, not anyone else. The first of the nine sages, Rishabhadev's children. So, self-realized soul, wandering over the universe to universe, talking about Krishna. So, when such a personality is saying something, you can't reject it. It is his realization. So, from bhakti comes virakti, from virakti comes bhagavat prabhodam, consciousness. And finally, what will happen? He says here, param shandim. Param shandi. Ram shandi means liberation. Then the liberation is in the liberated state. That follows him. So that's the important point to remember. There are a lot of subtle things involved in all these things. When we don't look at it from a subtle level, when we simply get dragged by the society and dragged by the community, then we will continue doing what we are doing. We won't change. We won't change. Give you an example. Somebody who goes to work every day, and he works very hard. Sometimes some people have to work long hours also, 10, 12, 14 hours. Throughout the week, they have to work like that. And because they have focused on that work so well that they don't get tired. They're able to do it day after day. Sometimes even giving up holidays or due to something inside is telling him to do that. Isn't it? Something inside is telling him to do that. So he's able to do that regularly, on a regular basis. The same person, he comes And you tell him about spiritual life and you tell him, please read Bhagavad Gita. This Bhagavad Gita will do a lot of good for you. Try to understand Bhagavad Gita. He takes Bhagavad Gita and starts reading. In 5 minutes he falls asleep. Falls asleep. Isn't it? He falls asleep. This is clear, isn't it? It happens to every one of us. We fall asleep. Why is it like that? What's the reason behind it? The reason is that from the society, we have accepted certain things. Society says you should go to work, earn money. Otherwise, how can you maintain yourself? Fine, that's good. And somewhere inside, you have made this major decision. This work and earning money as the topmost priority in life. As the topmost priority in life. All other things are less important as far as life is concerned. For every one of us, it's not to criticize anyone. Please don't misunderstand that I am on a higher platform, so I'm saying this. I'm also in the same condition like any one of you are. But try to understand from Krishna's point what Krishna is saying to us. Krishna is saying that so long as there is some importance in your own mind you have decided, it is for that thing you will work in this world. You'll work for that in this world. Maybe that's a job or that is something else. Whatever that is, some unknown decision in a subtle level you have taken inside. And that is your priority. That's your priority. Krishna calls this in the Bhagavad Gita with one word. It is called Vyavasayatmiya Buddhi. If you remember in the second chapter, Vyavasayatmiya Buddhi Egeha Kurunandana. Samadhau na vidhiyade, he says. Samadhau na vidhiyade. So Vyavasayatmiya Buddhi means this. That a buddhi, what you has taken a decision inside, that otherwise how would you justify that a person who is working so hard, he is not falling asleep when he is working in the office. 12, 14 hours he can work. But as soon as you take Bhagavad Gita and start reading, in 5 minutes he is falling asleep. He says, so I am tired. But why is he not tired there when he is working? This is a question to ask, isn't it? So, somewhere, at some point in time, you have made a very unconscious and subtle decision inside that this is the priority in life. And that will continue to be like that. And this is where, when spiritual life takes that position of that subtle decision, what you have made, then your spiritual life goes smoothly. Up to that point, this struggle will carry on like this. Then don't ask me, how do I do that then? That's what most of people do, isn't it? When you say something like this, they'll say, how do I do that? So there's no answer to that question. Krishna is saying to us, that subconsciously, in a subtle level, sometime you have made a very, very firm and conclusive decision inside. That is, I have to make money in this world, I have to live in this world, I have to maintain this body, I give all the importance to body was given, and to all the other things what society has imposed upon us. We have given importance to that, and gave this the greatest value or the importance to that decision. Whether you know it or don't know it, that decision is moving you in this world throughout. Everything will be centered around that decision. That will be the decision which is allowing you to continue your life in this world. Every day-to-day activities or your even while sleeping, these are the priorities. The priority is that. That's the topmost priority. So Krishna calls it as Vyavasayatmiya Buddhi. Krishna says instead of that, where this priority has switched from this to spiritual life, then your life is spiritual. Otherwise not. So this difficulty is there. It is not so simple as we make it about spiritual life. So Krishna is only saying this, that in order to get to that position, take this understanding from Ekadasha Skandam. Ekadasha is teaching us that why it is such an illusion that we are in. Such an illusion we are in. So unless it is educated, people will not understand it. Not that everybody will become overnight renounced yogis or sages. That's not going to happen. But at least if this basic understanding what Krishna has given us, if this is not kept in the forefront in our day-to-day life, we will never cultivate or develop any detachment to this world. Then what will happen? Even at the age of 80, you'll be sitting down and playing stock markets and shares. There won't be any other interest in life. After a certain age in life, it gets very difficult. What you have done throughout your life, you have to do it at the old age also. And if you don't find it, if you have no parties to go, if you have no marriages to be invited, if you have no stock market to play, life will become very monotonous. So Krishna is saying that if you understand spiritual life, yadido manaso vaja chatrubhyam shravanadivi nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi mayamanomayam. Mayamayam, manomayam. Two things. Mayamayam means nothing but it is maya that is created all these things in front of us. It is only maya's creation. Who has created everything is done by maya. And it is in maya's world we are relating to each other in one way or the other. Rejecting this, accepting that. Krishna says they are all false anyway. Why give importance to it? So some point in life, one has to break that connection with the world. Maya won't leave you. You have to break with maya. Maya is not going to leave you like that. But you have to break with maya. And that can only be broken with taking Krishna's instructions seriously. That's why it said, Vidhi mayamayam manomayam. Vidhi maya manomayam. Due to these two things, the presence of the mind as well as maya, this world is going on. And you are taking it very seriously. That realize this, Krishna says, whatever you have created with the mind, the words, the eyes, the ears, and all the other senses, not only eyes and ears, even the senses like touch, smell, taste, everything, all of those things are temporary. And only that exists because of the presence of the mind. This is the first thing to understand. That in order to develop this, first of all, attachment to sense objects must go. So, Krishna is saying here that eridam manaso vaja chakshurbhyam shravanadibhi then nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi maya manomayam. Now there is something else. Maya and manasa, mind, where did they come from? That also we have to look at, isn't it? What is maya? We discussed maya before. If you remember, who talked about maya? Kavir Hari Andariksha. Andariksha spoke about maya. If you remember, Bhagavad Dharmam, symptoms of a devotee, symptoms of maya. How do you understand maya? Andariksha spoke about that. And Prabuddha, who woke up from maya, spoke how you can get rid of maya. So same thing, it comes here again. This maya and the mind, these are the two things Krishna says here. Now, where did they come? The mind and the maya, Krishna is saying there, if you get this strongly in your head or wherever it is in the inside, that the manifested world, creation, or this world, what we see, experience, is due to the activities of the mind and the maya, sense objects, isn't it? Sense objects and the mind interact and it exists for us. Krishna is saying one thing, that this creation, in the process of creation, all these things have come from in gradually, from the soul, from the soul. Soul is the original thing. Original thing is the soul, Atma. Atma is the original thing. From Atma, they all came. We talked about this in Bhagavad Gita, if you remember. Mind is functioning, why? Because of the presence of the soul. Suppose in a body, you have got everything except the soul. Will the body work? Body won't work. The mind won't work. The senses won't work. Suppose a dead man is lying there. He has got all his senses there. You feed sweet rice to his tongue. A little bit of sweet rice, you give it to him. Will he say, I need more? Or will he say, I don't like it? He won't say anything. It will stay there like that, isn't it? So, important thing to remember is that the senses and the sense objects, all these are functioning because of the soul inside. This is very important. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has hammered this to Arjuna in the 13, 14 chapters like that. So, the same thing here in Srimad Bhagavatam also, that they exist only because of the soul exist. Isn't it? Soul exist, therefore they exist. Not that they exist because of the soul exist. It's not that way. Because the soul exists, all these things exist. What all? Mind exists, intelligence exists, senses exist, sense objects exist, false ego exist, and this whole material manifested world exists. Isn't it? This manifested world exists. Because of what? Because of the soul exists. The moment you cut off the mind is gone and the senses are gone, what will happen? Then the world doesn't exist. And this is the world we are taking so seriously. Is it not? We take this world so seriously because we think that this world always exists. But this word, alokyaha iti lokaha, that is how in the Shastram it says, that only when your senses and the mind is active, this world exists. Otherwise this world also doesn't exist when you come to the spiritual platform. On a spiritual platform, all these things don't exist. On the other hand, they all exist because of your existence of the soul. So, till now, we have been focusing everything on the world. You shift your observation from the world towards inside, towards the soul. This is what Krishna is asking us to do. Krishna is saying to us, till now, all you were busy with was all these manifested things, thinking this as the real thing. Whereas the real thing is something different than these things. We have focused our attention completely on this externally manifested world. And that's what Krishna is saying. Yadidam manaso vaja chakshubhyam shravanadibhi. Through the eyes, ears, all the senses, Krishna is included in that. And five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, through which you have interacted with the external world for throughout the life. And even today, now we are doing exactly the same thing. Doing exactly the same thing. And what is the result? The result is that you have given importance to the what you have seen, or what you have heard, or what you have tasted, or what you have smelled, or what you have experienced with your body. This has become the your primary importance in life. Whenever there is a conversation between people, what do they discuss? They discuss these five things only. Five senses of knowledge or five senses of action. You don't see majority, 99.99% of the world discusses these five things only. Isn't it? It extends in different forms, that's all. But they all come within the umbrella of these five senses of knowledge and five senses of action. Is it not? Everything, whether it is politics, whether it is economy, whether it is development, whether it is sport, whether it is music, everything, every area of life falls within this five senses of knowledge and five senses of action. You can see that yourself, isn't it? So, Krishna is saying, so long as your attention is focused on these five senses of knowledge and five senses of action, you are actually going away from the truth. The truth is something different than all these things. The truth is the soul who keeps all these things working in this world. And instead of looking at the thing where it is getting the primary force, where it's coming from, if you shift your focus from outside these external things, inside towards Atma, then you are released from the problem. The problem is gone. But we are unable to do so. We are unable to do so. Why? Because when we got this body here, we have brought so many vasanas with us that won't allow you to do that first. Because vasanas will force you. Vasanas will tell you, I have to enjoy life. This is only one life you've got. And so much ignorance also from birth. That ignorance is with us. And ignorance gradually develops, so it turns into sense gratification. And when you get a lot of distress in sense gratification, then you become a little withdrawn from sense gratification. Again, when the things get better, you go back to sense gratification again. That's how sense gratification is, isn't it? You withdraw from sense gratification when there is a little distress. When the distress is gone, again you go back to sense gratification. This is our life. Generally, everyone's life is like this. So, Krishna is pointing out here that this sense gratification, which is based on these five senses of knowledge and five senses of action, if you understand that, they are temporary, and that is nothing but activities of the mind and the material nature or maya. If you can discriminate it like this discrimination what Krishna is talking about, we are not getting that discrimination in us. That is our biggest problem. This is our biggest problem. Vivekam. Vivekam means discrimination. It's not coming to us. It is from Vivekam that Vairagyam will come. Vivekam means to discriminate. But the discrimination is only possible one who can think through it very, very strongly. One who is able to control his mind and to constantly establish himself on a spiritual level. That's a very, very difficult thing. Some people can do that. And they are the jnanis. Jnanis are those who can do that. They, by virtue of their powerful ability to control their mind and control their senses, and through the power of knowledge, and not only that, taking Krishna's words very seriously. You have to take Krishna's words very seriously. Otherwise, you won't be able to stay in that for a long time. Generally, what happens is, we read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we understand something from that. Very next moment, something happens outside, the whole thing is gone. One lot, it's gone. There is neither Bhagavad Gita nor Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? The reason is this, that our power of discrimination was not strong enough to bring that into our life at the time when it is needed. Then we act in a completely different level. So these problems do exist. Therefore, it's not possible for everyone to follow this process, what Krishna is discussing here. But because Ekadasha Skandam is referring to the transcendental knowledge, the highest knowledge, what Krishna has revealed to this world after Srimad Bhagavad Gita, it cannot be ignored. It cannot be ignored. It cannot be rejected, because this is the truth. Krishna is giving us the truth. So how can we go away from truth? But at least if we constantly hear this, Ekadasha Skandam, it will have some impact on us. And it can only happen when Krishna wants that to happen, not by our effort. This is another important thing. We think, oh, I will study Bhagavad Gita for or Srimad Bhagavatam, and by our own effort we can achieve this consciousness, what Krishna is saying here. That is also not possible. Therefore it said, Bandusneham vijahyam tavahi karunaya toyubaveshidalma sarvam tetva chareyam sagalama vijagal viksha maya vilasam. Bandusneham vijahyam. I'm willing to give up all my attachments to Bandhu, relatives, and Swajanam, the community. Vijahyam, I'll give up all that. Tavahi karunaya. It is at that point Krishna's mercy has to come. Otherwise it is not going to happen. Toyuva veshidalma. That I am able to absorb my mind in Krishna. In other words, when you take the mind away from something, mind requires something else to go to. Otherwise mind cannot stay. Suppose you leave, mind leaves something, it has to have something else, and that's Krishna. Toyuva veshidalma sarvam tetva chareyam. Then I can leave everything in this world and wander around in this world. Sakalamavi jagal vikshamaya vilasam. At that point, how will I see this world? I won't see the world exactly the way I am seeing today. I will see this world is nothing but maya vilasam, maya's activity. So today we are seeing this world, everything is real, isn't it? Everything is so real to us. That's why we are making all our 5-year plans, pension plans, and health care plans and insurances. Because we are thinking everything is so real to us. Is it not? So, and this illusion is so powerful with the assistance of the so much industry and business and economic activities. Every moment they are telling us there are much more real things, and they add to the list further, day by day. But Krishna is saying that, look at them from Krishna's words. Krishna is saying, Vichya Maya Vilasam. Maya's Vilasam is everything. Nothing but Maya. Every single thing what we are dealing with in this world is Maya. Why? Maya's definition, if you look, Andarishan said this. What is that? Anything that has got a birth, that grows, it has its byproducts, it stays for some time, starts dwindling, and eventually death. Shad Parinamam. The six kinds of transformation. Wherever these six things happens, wherever these six things are happening, it is considered to be Maya. This is definition of Maya. And the only place where these six things don't happen is for the soul. So in other words, what? Everything else is Maya. Bandhusneham vijahyam tavahi karunaya. Only by Krishna's grace, that is what it means. Tavahi karunaya. Only by Krishna's grace you can do both the things. What? On the one hand, to give up your connection with the family life and the community and society and all that. That also requires Krishna's help. Afterwards, to fix the mind in Krishna, completely absorbed, and to see this world as Maya's domain, Maya's world. That's all possible only when Krishna's mercy is there. Otherwise, it's not possible. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is saying to us that develop Krishna consciousness. This is what we need, Krishna's help. Without Krishna's mercy, all these things are not going to happen. You can do any other project you can win in this world. You can even go to the moon or the Mars or anywhere. But this particular what Krishna has spoken here is such that without Krishna's mercy, this is not going to happen. Therefore, yadidam manaso vaja chakshubhyam shravanadibhi nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi mayamanomayam. Mayamayam and manomayam. That is how Krishna is saying here. And once you have understood this properly, Krishna says, if this realization has come to you, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, what is there for you to do in this world? That is the next question, isn't it? How can I leave everything? I have worked so hard in my life. I have built up my pension plan. I got all my house, business, land, agriculture, and so many projects are going on at the moment. How can I leave everything and walk away from this? To that, Krishna is answering this, that if you have understood this properly, you will have no difficulty in walking away from there, from all these things. Today, our problem is like that, isn't it? We are thinking, oh, I worked all my life, paid all my taxes, paid all my whatever we have accumulated, little things in this world. And if you are telling me in 1 minute I should leave all that thing and go away from there, how is that possible? Uddhava was going to ask that question. That is that not sannyasam, he says. Krishna says, yes, but not the sannyasam what you are talking about, he said. This sannyasam is this consciousness, what Krishna is referring to. Nashwaram brihyamanam cha vidhimaya manomayam. So, important thing here is the first thing for a devotee to cultivate is this, nityam and anityam, permanent and temporary. What is permanent? What is temporary? That discrimination within oneself. If that discrimination is very firmly established inside, if it is firmly established inside, then this temptation to go for sense gratification even for a moment will not happen. Will not happen. Because that discrimination is not established firmly inside, that is why all kinds of plan making starts inside. Isn't it? Oh, I have to preach Krishna consciousness. I have to dovetail this to that. And to preach this, I need money. So in order to get money, I have to do this business. And if I make so much money in this business, I can preach Krishna consciousness after that. Like this, plan making goes on inside. Krishna is saying here, that's all very good. Everybody makes plans in this world. Without plan, nobody works in this world. Hardly anyone does anything without planning. But Krishna says, if you have kept these things in the picture, your plan making will come down a little bit. Instead of increasing this plan making, the plan making will come down and you will start acting on a spiritual platform. The reason why we are not, somebody said that it's very difficult to chant Hare Krishna all the time, or very difficult to read Srimad Bhagavatam all the time. That's only for the morning few hours. My sadhana time is over. Now I got my own things to do. So why is this happening? Because it's inside, he has not understood this point what Krishna is making. To a large degree, he is still driven by the mind and the senses. But Krishna is saying that at least instead of increasing the plan, decrease the plan, this plan making. As far as Krishna is concerned, one who comes to spiritual life, he does not require very much. He needs some food to eat, a place to sleep. That is Krishna's allotment for a person, one who wants to live a spiritual life. All other things as far as Krishna is concerned is unnecessary. Therefore, even after coming to spiritual life, if we have to develop a material life along the same lines, then that spiritual life will not go very far. This is the point Krishna is making here. That the if one has understood Krishna's point, we can see that when you say it is difficult to give up everything and walk away from here, Krishna is saying, if you have thought about this and understood this one point, that as much as birth was not in your control, so much same say the death is also not in your control. Your existence here in this material body is nashwaram, is temporary. Vidhi maya manomayam, and all your activities are within the framework of mind and within the framework of maya. If you have understood this, and if this by knowledge, if you have established this, to whom you have to say goodbye in this world? That's Krishna's point. Why? Because once you have reached that platform of Krishna consciousness, when you realize that what exists is nothing but Krishna, so many living entities, all part and parcel of Krishna, to whom do you say goodbye then? What do you have to say to anything, to anybody? Is there anything to say to anyone at that point? So all this illusion in our head, which is making us, is purely happening due to two things. What are they? In the Shastric language, it is called Vikshevam and Avaranam. Vikshevam and Avaranam. Vikshevam is nothing but Rajogunam. Avaranam is nothing but Tamogunam. So when the Rajogunam and Tamogunam is very predominantly present in a person, what will happen to him is Vikshevam and Avaranam is very strong. What is Vikshevam means? We have talked about it before. Vikshevam means to make something feel like our consciousness. In our own mind, we get this understanding that this material world is permanent, isn't it? Material world is permanent. Everything is permanent here for us. Even though it's temporary, we are able to take it so seriously. Our own life, our family life, our community life. We are fighting for winning the Champions League. Why? Because if the Champions League, if we win, we can tell others that England won the Champions League or Manchester United won the Champions League. You get a subtle happiness from that, whoever is supporting Champions League, Manchester United. But somebody who is supporting Chelsea is crying there, I didn't get it. So Krishna is saying here that the these things are nothing but is a product of what? Rajogunam in a person. Product of Rajogunam in a person. And this is called Vikshevam. Because we were not able to escape from these things, and Vikshevam is Avaranam, is constantly, continues to chase us. This is to proving to us that we are under the grips of these two things, Vikshevam and Avaranam. Vikshevam means to show something which is not permanent, which is not permanent as permanent in this world. We take that very seriously. Not to see through this properly and to accept that this is not a permanent thing. What does it matter? Who wins Champions League? How does it affect me? My spiritual life, how does it affect? We won't think like that. Even that basic discrimination, we are finding it difficult to bring it in at that point when it is required. At that point, senses are controlling. Mind is controlling, not the self. Where that knowledge was required to resist that tendency to enjoy, the mind controlled ourselves and dictated to us, at this point this is important, not spiritual life. This is only an example. But important thing is, this has come from vikshepam. Vikshepam means to twist a thing and give you importance to something else. Avaranam means to cover up its original nature. Just like the example given in the philosophy is, philosophy means in the Vedantic books, is the important, the example of the snake and the rope. Very famous example. Everybody uses this example. Or in other words, a girl who was passing through, she had a bunch of flowers in the form of a garland in her hair. While walking, it fell off from her hair and was lying there. She walked away from there. Another person came through that way and he saw in the darkness, he saw something lying there. He saw something lying there. Not realizing that it was a garland, because in the darkness he couldn't find out what it was, he misunderstood or mistook it and took it as a snake. He took it as a snake because for him at that point it was a snake. He saw it as a snake. So he was so convinced that it was a snake. So here, vikshepam is that thing. Vikshepam is that thing. So avaranam is the first thing which actually covers its true nature. Which covers its true nature. These are not examples only. These are realities of the way the mind deals with this world. You can see for yourself. Many things in this world are like that. How misunderstandings comes. Misunderstanding comes from avaranam. Avaranam is like this. That its true nature of this object, it is not revealed to us, isn't it? It is not revealed to us. On the other hand, it has revealed to us something else, which is vikshepam, which is called vikshepam. Avaranam means to cover its true nature. Everything in the material creation is like that. It is all telling us, all these things are telling us in this world, whether it is a car, BMW or any expensive apartment or excellent clothing and nice food, all these things, what we are enjoying through our senses all the time. Okay, sense gratification is a big subject, isn't it? It has a big impact on human society. What Krishna is saying here is, everything comes under the purview of sense gratification. And everything in sense gratification, you are experiencing that purely because of this thing called avaranam. None of the objects of sense gratification tells you what exactly it is. Example. Suppose you are enjoying a feast and they have served you some gulab jamun. He gives you 2 gulab jamun first time. You have taken it. 4, taken that also. 6, you have taken that. But the 8th one, when it comes, when the 8th one is served, you are saying no to it. Why? Although inside it's saying, I would like to have it. But because of the fear of getting sick, some people stop it. Some people say, I'll get sick, but let me enjoy it. That's also there in this world. In this world, you get all sorts of people. Only, especially when you are young, when you know that even if I get sick, how long? Maybe a day or two. So what? Let me enjoy it now. That's the way the mind is. And this is called avaranam. Avaranam means, gulab jamun is not telling you that I am like poison for you. If you take me inside, and if you take me too much, you are going to suffer. Gulab jamun won't tell you that, would it? Gulab jamun is not going to tell you. Gulab jamun says, whoever has made it, and wherever it has come from, if it has, there you will even say, oh, it's all Krishna's prasadam, so why not I have it? As much as possible. So this is called avaranam. Avaranam means this illusion in our head or maya in our head. This is maya. Maya is not projecting the right information to us, that I shouldn't take it, it is going to cost me problems, I should be satisfied with one or two, not more than that. This is called avaranam. Now, vikshepam is that thing, that it is not showing its sense gratification, the object of sense gratification is not showing its true colors, in other words. Vikshepam is that thing, that instead of projecting to you that it is going to give you trouble later, it's projecting to you it's going to give you happiness on the other hand. That is called vikshepam. These two things, vikshepam and avaranam, is nothing but coming from rajogunam and tamogunam in a person. Rajogunam and tamogunam in a person. This is only an example. Similarly, if you take the example of the rope and the snake, the fact that it was not a rope covered, that knowledge of rope was covered, and that is tamogunam or avaranam. The fact that it projected in front of you as a snake is vikshepam or rajogunam. That's the only way you have to take it. Vikshepam and avaranam are the two things which are causing this problem. So Krishna says there, tamdu sarvam parityajya sneham svajana bandushu maya veshyamana samyak samadrik vijaraswagam vijaraswagam. Krishna says this is where to develop sattugunam. Sattugunam comes. This is where sattugunam's role. What is the importance of sattugunam? In sattugunam, one can see things as they are. That's the beauty of sattugunam. Sattugunam is also harmful. Later on, Krishna will come to that. Sattugunam is also harmful. But only through sattvagunam, rajogunam and tamogunam will go. This false impression, what we create. So in order to come to this platform, what Krishna is talking about, yadidam manasovaja chakshubhyam shravanadibi nashuram vihyamanamja vidhi mayamanomayam. In order to develop that understanding, sattvagunam is necessary. Sattvagunam is necessary. In order to develop sattvagunam, what is required? Bhakti is required. From sattugunam only bhakti will come. Proper bhakti will develop from sattugunam. So bhakti, proper bhakti will develop sattugunam in a person. So they are connected, sattugunam and bhakti. Later on in the Krishna will talk about it later, that the sattvam sattvena jaivahi. Sattugunam also you have to free, because that is also the three modes of nature. We gave this example before. Once, if somebody was arrested, a person was walking through a forest, Three thieves caught hold of him. One thief said to him that tie him down and beat him up. That's tamogunam. That thief is tamogunam. The second one said that you can release him but hold him back, but don't tie him down. This is rajogunam. The third one, the sattugunam person, is that thief, who says to him that I'll take you out of this place and release you from here so that you won't be in trouble. That is sattugunam. But sattugunam is also a thief. That's the important thing. So these three modes of nature, sattvam, rajas and tamas, is always there. And the highest state, when one comes to this platform, what Krishna has spoken about, he is above the three modes of nature. You have to remember that. So, if you start thinking overnight, oh, how can I get there now, straight away? That will not happen. It requires a lot of patience and continuously studying Krishna's instructions very, very seriously. Otherwise, it is not possible to get there. Before we come to understand what is mukti, what is liberation, we have to know what is that state of consciousness in liberation, isn't it? And that's why Krishna is explaining all these things here, that you shouldn't have to worry when you will be born, when you will die, what you have to say goodbye to anyone. Nothing. Krishna says, vidhi maya manomayam. If you simply understand that all this is nothing but a product of maya. So in that way, Krishna continues. There are so many verses after that. Pumso ayuktasya nanartho brahmasak gunadosha bhag karma karma vigarmedi gunadosha dhyabhidaham tasma yuktendriya gramo yuktajitam idam jagat atmanichasya vidadam atmanam mayadhishware. Very powerful words. Here Krishna is not making any compromise on anything. ആത്മനീക്ഷസ്വം ആത്മാനം. കൃഷ്ണ സേയ്സ് ദ മൊമെന്റ് യു ഫോൾ ഫ്രം ദി സോൾ പൊസിഷൻ യു ആർ ഗോൺ. ആത്മനീക്ഷസ്വം ആത്മാനം, ആത്മനീക്ഷസ്വം ഇതകം ആത്മാനം മൈ അധീശ്വരെ. കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് ഡോണ്ട് വാണ്ട് ടു ഡിസ്കസ് എനിതിങ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് എക്സെപ്റ്റ് ദ സോൾ. ദിസ് ഇസ് കൃഷ്ണ. വി വാണ്ട് ടു ഡിസ്കസ് എവറിഥിങ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് എക്സെപ്റ്റ് ദ സോൾ. കൃഷ്ണ വാണ്ട്സ് ടു ഡിസ്കസ് ഓൺലി അബൌട്ട് ദ സോൾ, നത്തിങ് എൽസ്. ദർ ഇസ് എ ഡിഫറൻസ് ബിറ്റ്വീൻ കൃഷ്ണ ആൻഡ് അസ്. വിൽ ഡിസ്കസ് നെക്സ്റ്റ് സൺഡേ. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ.